Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. And I am your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24, where you'll get a lot of Alabama basketball content, as well as a little bit of Jacksonville Jaguars, Dallas Mavericks, and Atlanta Braves, if you like any of those teams as well. So Alabama goes on the road to Baton Rouge today at 11 a.m. So it's an early start. It's the first early start of the season for Alabama. So I was curious to see how they'd come out. Well, it was a up-tempo, high-scoring affair where Alabama came away with a 109-92 victory on the road against LSU. Now, you may look at the score, say that it's a 109-92. Alabama just had their way offensively, which is true. Alabama could get whatever they wanted majority of the game. But you probably thought it was a blowout throughout, but that was definitely not the case. This was one of those to where the final score kind of lies to you. Now, Alabama did have their moments to where they built up a 12, 13, 14 point lead at times. But give LSU credit, man. They fought. And just like the first matchup in Tuscaloosa, they fought. They weren't going to go down without a fight, and especially on their home court. Well, Alabama was up by 13 at one point, near midway through the second half. And then LSU just went on a run. I believe it was a 9-0 run after they cut it down to, I believe it was around 8, if I'm not mistaken. But they had like a 9-0 run, ended up taking the lead 73-72 with about 9:30, about 10:30 actually left in the game. So Alabama's win probability dropped to about 51% at that time. It was consistently above 70 all the way through the game. But once LSU took the lead with about 10:30 left, it dropped down to about 51%. Then here comes Alabama. They go on a 37-18 run to close out the game, hit 6 triples in that final 10 minutes, and the barrage was on. So while it was 73-72, the score ended up 109-92. Incredible. I mean, Alabama can turn a game upside down and on its head out of nowhere. So if you're a guy or you're the type of person that, you know, when they get down, your team gets down 10, 12 points and you just want to turn it off and not watch, you can't do that with this Alabama team. They're going to come back. They're going to make their runs. Their offense is just too good to stay out of games for too long. And there's only been, you know, maybe 2 or 3 instances this year where Alabama was barely in the game throughout and they just couldn't get back in. And the two that come to mind were Auburn and Tennessee, off the top of my head. Now, this game, there's a lot to kind of dive into. A lot of good, some bad that I'll kind of touch on as well. But let's just kind of dive into the team stats right quick. That's kind of how we do it on this channel or on this podcast, is just kind of go into the stats, see what the numbers say. Go into the box score, see who did well, who didn't do well, and just kind of talk about it. So just looking at the box scores, Alabama shot 46% and LSU shot 55%. They shot nearly 10% higher than Alabama and lost by 17. That's absolutely incredible. The reason? Alabama was plus 33 from the three-point line. Alabama made 18 of 44 threes. They shot the ball 81 times thanks to getting 19 offensive rebounds to 6 for LSU. That's just incredible. Alabama shot 38 of 81. So if you shoot 81 times and still shoot 47% from the field, you're shooting pretty daggum good. They also went 15 of 17 from the free throw line, which is just kind of cherry on top for this Alabama offense. So just kind of looking at it, Alabama dominated the boards 43-31. I kind of already said 19-6 overall offensive rebounds, which Nate Oates alluded to his press conference, to where you're not going to beat too many teams when you give up that many offensive rebounds. But Alabama had 25 assists on 38 made field goals, which shows that Alabama was being able to move with freedom of motion, being able to pass whenever they, wherever they wanted to. They had a few little instances where they just kind of dribbled around, trying to find something. But majority of the time, 95% of the time today, Alabama could do whatever they wanted. Now, LSU did own the paint a little bit, 44-38. Will Baker had a lot to do with that. We'll kind of touch on him here in a second. But I thought another big part was LSU turned it over 12 times, and Alabama got 23 points off of those 12 turnovers. Now, when you do the math and you say that, yeah, if you scored a bucket on each of those 12 turnovers, that's 24 points. But Alabama got several threes off of turnovers, and it pretty much shows you that Alabama scored nearly every time that LSU turned it over. They were doing something. They were making some kind of offense happen afterwards. They had 8 steals, so that shows that they could get out and run. Had 15 fast break points as well. Alabama led as large as 19 in this game. LSU led by 3 very early on, and they led by 1 late, like I mentioned before. Kind of looking at the player stats, we'll touch on Alabama. Alabama, they had 5 players score 15 or more points. 4 in the starting lineup. Grant Nelson had an off game offensively. He only had 7 points, but he battled down low. Now, Will Baker had a really big game, scored 24 points for them. But, I mean, Grant Nelson didn't make it easy. They made him earn it. But Grant Nelson's just running into a buzzsaw here recently with the bigs that he's had to face as of late. But Mark Sears led the scoring for Alabama with 23 points, had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, hit 4 out of 9 threes. I mean, he did it all today. He was all over the place. He's exactly what you want your star, hopefully future All-American guard, to do on the road, because you have to have someone step up, and you always want it to be that Mr. Consistent, which – Mark Sears tied Colin Sexton for the most 20-point games in a season in Alabama history, which is absolutely incredible. Latrell Reitzel had another big game. He plays really well on the road, too. He had 6 out of 9 from 3. All of his buckets came from 3. He went 0 for 3 from the field outside of 3. 3 for 3 for the free throw line. He hasn't missed a free throw all year, albeit he hasn't shot a whole lot. But he ended up with 10 boards again, 4 assists. I mean, he, for a little guy, 6'2" guard, he puts his nose down there with the big guys, and he goes down there and gets rebounds. Martin Sears with 8 rebounds. Aaron Estrada with 6. I mean, they outpace our forwards, or Alabama's forwards, in rebounds easily. It just goes to show that if this team's going to win with a small lineup, everybody's going to have to group rebound. And they do. They do. They play very unselfish, and they go after it and do their best to clear the boards or try to get extra possessions. Rylan Griffin had 16 points and 6 assists. He was a good facilitator today. Went 4 of 8 from 3. Aaron Estrada with 15. 2 of 6 from 3, 6-11 overall with 6 rebounds and 7 assists. He's just a stat sheet filler every single game, it seems like. And kind of the surprise of the game was Nick Pringle. He came in kind of early in the game. He only played 15 minutes, but he had 17 points, 5 rebounds, and a block in 15 minutes on 8 of 9 shooting. Absolutely incredible efficiency. Him and the other 4 that I just mentioned all had 15-plus points in this game. You also had Sam Walters with 5, Jaron Stevenson with 5. I thought Jaron played a pretty decent game, even though this box score doesn't reflect that. He went 1 for 6 overall from the field. But I thought defensively, he played really hard. And that's what you're going to need from this team. Now, LSU, mentioned Will Baker. He had 24 points, 5 boards. He went 9 of 14 from the field. Now, you look at that and you say, man, he was unstoppable. He was for the first half. Second half, Alabama made some great adjustments. In the first half, they were kind of laying off. They were starting to hedge a little bit too much, and Will Baker was getting too deep into the paint and kind of catching it where he wanted to. And once he gets positioned in the paint, I mean, he's a mismatch for Grant Nelson. He's too big. He's too skilled. And he ended up just taking Grant to school for the most part. And he hit 2 threes in the first half. He just couldn't do any wrong. But in the second half, he went 0 for 2 from the field, had 2 points, both on free throws, and Alabama's adjustments worked incredibly. They started doubling late when he had the ball, so he couldn't get a shot up, and he was a little too deep to where he couldn't pass it out. And Will Baker looked flustered, and he ended up turning the ball over 4 times in the second half, ended up with 5 total. Jalen Cook, who wasn't supposed to really play today, it was supposed to be kind of limited minutes with a hamstring injury. He missed last game against Tennessee on Wednesday with that same injury, but he came in. He scored 20 points off the bench. He played 29 minutes. I was very surprised, but in a game like this, Alabama's going to score a ton of points, so you're going to need your best scorers on the court. And they played Jalen Cook a lot, and he scored well, albeit inefficiently. He went 6 of 17 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3, but he did go 7 of 9 from the free throw line. And then you had Tyrell Ward have 15 points as well, 7 of 9 from the field. I thought he did really well, cleaning up several misses and getting some easy buckets down low. Outside of that, you had some pretty quiet performances from guys like Jordan Wright and Mike Williams III and Jalen Reed, guys that LSU has to have step up. It was really a three-man show tonight, today. And looking at it, they scored 92 points and didn't get much production from any of those guys. Trey Hannibal was just in the blender all day or all game. He was getting fouls really quick. He fouled out in 11 minutes. And that's one of their key guys they have to have on the court defensively. He's one of the only defenders on this team. But he only saw 11 minutes of playing time because he ended up fouling out in the second half. So with this, Alabama moves to 17-7 overall, 9-2 in the SEC. And we're going to kind of go over some of the SEC scores that happened today to kind of see where the SEC standings are right now. But kind of looking at KenPom real quick, Alabama overtook Purdue as the number one offensive efficiency, adjusted offensive efficiency in the country. They actually moved pretty far ahead of Purdue. They're at 126.5. Purdue's at 125.4. So a big flip there. Alabama's number one. And now you might say, why does this even matter? It doesn't in the long run. But it really does affect your net or your KenPom rating, having such a high offense. Now, they did fall down to 77th in defense, which is predictable after giving up 92 points and 1.4 points per – or not 1.4, 1.14 points per possession today. And they stayed at number 15 for adjusted tempo. They're at 3 for adjusted strength of schedule. And they moved up to number 6 in KenPom, right below Auburn and just ahead of Tennessee. So kind of looking at their call it their net team sheet off of WarrenNolan.com. Alabama is sitting really nice with the metrics as they have all year. The metrics have loved Alabama. Continue to. They're 3-6 overall in quad one games. They're 5-1 in quad two, and then combined 9-0 in quad three and quad four. So I saw a stat to where there has never been a top three seed in the NCAA tournament that had a losing record in quad one games. Now, I think Alabama can break that mold because I don't know how other teams are going to shape out and if some of these are going to stay quad one wins. Clemson just moved in to a quad one, so they added a loss to Alabama. Indiana State's holding strong. They're at 22. And then outside of that, there's really nobody or no other team that will kind of creep in or creep out. Mississippi State's firmly in as a quad one win. South Carolina, they're at 42. They would have to make a huge jump to move into a quad one win. Same for Mississippi State and Oregon as well. But I think Alabama, they have several quad one games coming up to where they can move that quad one record up into a winning record. And if they do that, that will show that they finish really strong, and they'll probably finish as a three seed. I'm not ready to say they can be a two. They would probably have to win out to be a two. But I think a three is likely their ceiling, realistically, and their absolute floor would be a five. That's if everything went wrong. I could see them falling down to a five. But I think they'll settle right in the middle, right around a four. We'll kind of look at their schedule coming up, kind of how some of these teams are doing, and kind of see how the matchups are moving forward. So looking at some of the scores today, and it was kind of a crazy day in the SEC, just because you had number 6 Tennessee get absolutely blown out at Texas A&M. They lost 85-69. You had number 12 Auburn get destroyed by Florida in Gainesville, 81-65, but Florida was up by like 36 in this game at one point. So Auburn just came back. I don't think Florida hit a field goal for the last 9 minutes and still won by 16, which is incredible. You had South Carolina beat Vanderbilt. You had Alabama beat LSU, albeit not a conference game. Gonzaga goes on the road and gets a huge win over Kentucky. Kentucky has now lost three straight home games for the first time since 1966, which is incredible. Never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. You had Arkansas squeak out a game against Georgia, and Mississippi State defeat Missouri by 24. So the two that kind of has the most implications are obviously the Tennessee and Auburn game, where both of those fall. That will leave a two-way tie for number one in the SEC with Alabama and South Carolina. So Alabama and South Carolina are both 9-2. Auburn is 8-3. And then Tennessee is 7-3. And then you have a three-way tie at 6-4 between Texas A&M, Kentucky, and Florida. Now, looking at this upcoming week's schedule, now Alabama has a week off, so they won't play again until Saturday. But looking at Tuesday, Texas A&M plays Vanderbilt, LSU at Florida, Ole Miss at Kentucky. So nothing really important during those games. You kind of figure, you know, Florida A&M and Kentucky will all three win those games. But kind of going to Wednesday, there's one big game during the midweek, and that's number 15 South Carolina against number 12 Auburn. Can South Carolina show that, hey, if they beat Auburn at Auburn, which I don't think they will, but if they beat Auburn on the road, I'll go ahead and tell you, I think South Carolina is probably the SEC favorite. Just by their schedule, if you look at their schedule, if they beat Auburn, they still have LSU. They got Florida at home. They got at Mississippi State. And then Texas A&M and Ole Miss. The only for sure loss, I don't really even see a for sure loss on this game or this schedule. So they have some tough road games, but if they go in and they show that they can beat Auburn at Auburn, that's going to go a long way to winning the SEC. But kind of looking ahead to Saturday, now Alabama is at home against Texas A&M. Looking ahead, you know, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the two games at home, back-to-back, A&M and then Florida, and said Alabama's just going to win those two games. You just expect it. But the way Florida and Texas A&M are playing, these are two kind of scary games They're kind of sneaky games for Alabama. So they're really going to have to play well against a very hard-nosed defensive team like Texas A&M, who always gives Alabama trouble. I don't think Nate Oates has beaten Buzz Williams but one time, and that was in the SEC Championship. And then Florida is playing as well as anybody right now, and they're a matchup nightmare with their huge front court and trio of really good scoring guards. But looking at the rest of the schedule, you got Florida at Georgia, Arkansas at Mississippi State, LSU at South Carolina, Vanderbilt at Tennessee. The big one, Kentucky at Auburn. Could Auburn lose two potential home games in a row? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. But these are about as two tough of back-to-backs at home, along with Alabama just earlier this week, that they'll have at home. They've had a little tough stretch here. Let's see how they come out. Now, obviously, they got blown out by Florida. How will they bounce back against South Carolina, and can they beat Kentucky, who's kind of reeling right now? So, looking at it, an Alabama schedule, you have Florida and A&M coming in to Coleman on Saturday, and then on Wednesday, sorry. So, you have Saturday and Wednesday, and then you have the rough stretch, the four-game stretch of at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, home against Tennessee, at Florida, before finishing up at home against Arkansas. I mean, if you win those two home games, you have to feel really good if you're Alabama, if you can just squeeze out two of these next four games after that. Now, if you could beat Ole Miss on the road and then home against Tennessee, I think those are the two most likely. That one against Tennessee could decide the whole SEC. So that's the biggest game of those four. But Alabama has to steal at least one of those road games to have a chance to win the SEC. I think 14-4 is going to win the conference, if not a share or outright. I think it's going to win the conference, 14-4. I don't see anybody winning 15 games, but 14-4 can do it, and that means Alabama can only lose two of their last seven games, or two of their last six games. So if they go 4-2, I see them winning at least a share of the conference. So that means last seven games, they can go 4 or 5-2. That means winning all your home games and then stealing one on the road. I think Alabama will win the SEC. You can put me down on record saying that. If they finish 5-2, they're going to win the SEC. Period. Now, Alabama has a week off, and it couldn't have come at a better time because Alabama, you could tell, just looked sluggish. It's amazing they put up 109 points when they kind of looked like they had tired legs for a lot of it. They were just kind of moseying on around, going through the motions defensively. Now, offensively, they're totally engaged. But defensively, you can see that they kind of lose focus. They kind of lose their edge a little bit at times. And that's kind of where teams come back on them really quick, like LSU did today. But they really needed a break, get healthy. I think everybody's pretty much healthy, but nobody's really fully healthy at this time of the year. But it's a perfect time to where they can kind of regroup, try to fix some things defensively, rest before these two big home games. Again, it couldn't have come at a better time before you play Texas A&M, that's for sure. But getting this rest before these two home games and then before you go on the road for two straight games against Kentucky and against Ole Miss. So it looks like I kind of wrapped everything up. Alabama had a huge win today, 109-92. They remained first in the SEC over South Carolina. They own the tiebreaker with a 27-point win against South Carolina at home earlier in the conference season. And Alabama's in great shape. Everybody knows that Alabama's great offensively, defensively. They have a lot of work to do. But at this point of the season, you kind of are who you are. So their offense has to outshine their defensive woes or their defensive inefficiencies because a lot of these guys on this team are just not built to be good defenders. Guys like Aaron Estrada, Mark Sears, Latrell Reitzel, they're not built to be elite defenders. And that's okay because they're elite offensive players. You just kind of have to give and take. But Alabama's going to have to be elite offensively if they're going to make a deep run into March or to win the SEC. And this team is obviously capable of that. Obviously. Now, this team is, I just kind of, one more remark, and then I'll kind of end the show today. But this team is incredibly fun to watch. They're incredibly infuriating. I get furious watching them sometimes as well, just because it seems like this, a lot of the times they play against teams like LSU or Georgia or even Missouri earlier in the conference season, Vanderbilt, should be like, they should be blowing this team out, but they're always right there next to me or right there close in the second half. And you're just like, if they could just get three stops in a row, they would blow this team out. And for some reason, they just can't do it. But man, can they just turn it on when they want to. And today you saw that. You saw it against Mississippi State. You saw it against Georgia, LSU the last time. Just cherish this team for what it is. And just know this is the best offensive team Alabama has ever seen in program history. And while they were projected to finish fifth in the SEC preseason, they're right up there at the top, 11 games in, projected to be a 3-4 seed in the tournament. If you had told 99% of Alabama fans, outside of the ones that aren't realistic, 99% of Alabama fans, would you have taken a 4 seed and finished in top 4 in the SEC? Abso-freaking-lutely. I had Alabama winning 11 games in conference preseason. They're already at 9 with 7 to go. That's just incredible. I would have taken that in a heartbeat, and I'm just going to enjoy it the rest of the way. Whatever happens, happens. They're a lock for the NCAA tournament, and once you get into the dance, you know anything can happen. And for a long time, Alabama fans have been begging for a program to where you didn't have to worry about the bubble ever, or you didn't even have to hear the word bubble or NIT ever. Well, this is the program is here. Nate Oates has arrived. Nate Oates has brought this program to be nationally relevant, to be a powerhouse in the SEC 3 of the last 4 years, and doing it again this year. So, in the words of Avery Johnson, buckle up for this last 7 games. It's going to be fun. And I always can't wait till the next game to watch this team play. But we're going to have to wait a week. So, my next podcast to come after the Saturday game, it'll be another early game at 11 a.m. Hopefully, it'll be a packed Coleman Coliseum on February 17th, next Saturday. And until next time, I appreciate every single one of you listening to my podcast. Means so much to me, and I love sharing my thoughts on Alabama basketball, and I appreciate all of you taking your time to listen to my thoughts as well. So this has been another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Harper. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24 and over on Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network, where you'll find a ton of great content on basketball as well as football and other sports and Alabama athletics. So until next time, I appreciate everyone listening. Adios.